Taylor back on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. Get a few words with new Sherrard head football coach Scott Munson. It's weird. I probably shouldn't say new head football coach. I know he's been around a while. I was talking to him off the air. I think he's been on the staff over there since 1997 when Jeff Lindmark was the head coach. But I'll call you a new head coach. Congratulations. I know you have to be really excited. You've been in those hallways and walked the sidelines at Clifford King Field for many years. So I know you got to be chomping at the bit to get started.
Well, thanks, Jim. I appreciate that. And yeah, very, very excited. Not anywhere else I'd want to be, quite frankly. And it's been a great run. I had an opportunity to coach with some really, really good coaches and good people. And I'm grateful for the opportunity to be head coach.
And as they say, the wait is worth it. And sometimes you have to wait a little bit longer to get the job, but you finally got the position. So just kind of talk a little bit about the task at hand of putting the pieces in place and really getting to work with it's your program now, not the assistant. And that's probably one of the changes you'll have to adapt to is you're the head coach now, not the assistant anymore.
Yeah, absolutely. There's nobody to complain about. You know, it's all on me. You know, this was never the plan. When I started, back in '92, coaching basketball, I said to anybody that listened to me, as soon as this thing isn't fun anymore, I'm done. And you know, I being a head coach after Jeff left, people asked me, and I said no. And after Pat left, also people had asked, and in both times I said, you know, I'm having too much fun coaching to be a head coach, because once you're the head coach, there's all kinds of other stuff that fall on your plate that is outside of coaching, you know, such as this. But I really feel we're at the point now where those are the things that I want to address even more than the X's and O's. Schematically, I don't think we've had any problems here. You know, we can certainly get better at doing what we have done over the last, you know, 7, 8, 10 years, whatever. But we've always been solid schematically. And I know this is a buzzword around coaching now, but we've got a culture issue here. And a culture issue around football specifically, and to a lesser degree, all male sports. Our girls are thriving and doing great. So my job is to, and again, it's kind of cliche right now, but it's to change the culture. And that's where our focus will be. It'll be culture over strategy. And certainly you've got to deal with those X's and O's, and we'll do that. But that culture and that shift is going to be our starting point.
And I assume that the perfect segue is, you know, is it a number issue too? Now I know there's the senior class last year was a pretty big senior class over that kind of stuck it out, but you know the freshman, sophomore, and junior class, the numbers weren't there. I think it was the incoming freshman class last year. They had some pretty good participation numbers football wise through junior high, but for whatever the reason, those didn't stay true to form when they got into high school. I mean, is that one of the big issues? Is they, you know, this is cliche too, that there's too many kids walking the halls that aren't playing football.
There's some big kids walking the halls and that don't play football, and some of them never have. And I mean, that's one issue, but the number one focus I have are the ones that started this, be it in fifth grade, and somewhere along the line dropped out. And that's what we have to stop above and beyond everything else. And then I believe those that have never come out, once the momentum gets going, once they see that this is something worth investing their time in. I disregard the idea that kids are lazy today. We ask far more of kids today in sports than we did 25 years ago when I started. And certainly, I mean, how many years ago it was when I was in high school. So I don't believe that kids are lazy today. I just believe that they've got a lot of options, and we ask a lot of them. And so we as a coaching staff, all males coaching staff, have to get together, talk about how we're going to utilize these athletes and make sure they get the best opportunities through the course of the whole year. We want three sport athletes. And to do that, we've got to work together.
Well, and I know, Coach, you were there in the older years where Pat got it rolling there, and then, you know, the tail end of Coach Kirby's run at Girard was a good run, and I still remember, you know, one of the most frustrating losses was that Sterling Newman playoff loss where I think there was like 250 yards of total offense in the first half by Girard, and they just couldn't punch the ball in, and I think what was like 6-3 or 9-6 or whatever the final score was that day. And so I know you saw some of the ingredients there. No question, there were some good kids in those eras as well. But can you kind of look back, you know, since you've been an assistant since 1997, and we talk about, you know, it's your program now, but can you pick and choose some of the elements of what you thought worked and then some of the elements that you can disregard that maybe haven't worked? You see what I'm saying?
Absolutely, yes. And again, I've worked under five great coaches, great people. And, you know, Jeff had some troubles record-wise, but, you know, the guy was 24 when they hired him. And you know, if he put him in that position, I know he would do things differently and see it differently. And, you know, Brett and B.A., good people, good coaches, are both going to have success in whatever they do. And I'm sure B.A. will be on the sidelines again somewhere real soon, and they'll be fortunate to have him. But I tell you, the biggest influence to me, I had the opportunity every day for 6 years during the coaching season to work with John Elder. He was a line coach. I was a line coach. And so I got to spend time just watching him and learning from him. And so much of what we're going to do, and so much of what Pat does, if not everything of what Pat's doing at Richmond Burton and what he did here was, you know, based on what he had learned from his father. And what I learned from watching John Elder interact with young people and coaching is really what we'll base this program on. He you know, outside of my father and my high school coach, he has had more influence on me and shaping who I am today than anybody else.
And I know, you know, when we boil it down, and I thought it's interesting where you talk about it's not so much X's and O's when you're trying to build something, you know, it's the buy-in. And I always remember it was interesting when Coach Junkel, the one time he told me, we were talking about something, and he said on the air, well, Jim, you know, football can be fun, but let's be honest, mean things happen to you in football. So there's the balance of, you know, there has to be enjoyment, but kids also have to understand that there's work involved in football. And I'm not saying there's not work in other sports, but, you know, in the confines of, you know, a Friday night of playing high school football and the contact that goes on, as they say, mean things can happen to you in football. And if you're not ready for the mean things that can happen to you in football, you get exposed.
Absolutely.
So I mean, I think that's kind of the delicate balance now that coaches are involved in. And when you talk about, you know, the heat acclimatization stuff now, the contact day stuff, the concussion protocol, you know, you're more than just a head coach. You know, you're kind of an administrator. And then you're almost, and I'm not going to call you a doctor, but you're more of a pseudo healthcare professional. But I mean, there's a lot of things you have to put into place now. And then after that, you have to worry about the X's and O's. You know, so there's a lot on your plate, is what I'm saying.
And rules are changing. Some new rules coming in this year regarding blindside hits or hitting somebody that's not prepared. I don't know how officials are going to determine if this somebody, you know, was ready for the hit or not. I mean, that's their problem. But my point being that, you also have to keep up on the ongoing changing rules that are taking place and making sure you're coaching to put your people in a good position, a position to be successful. And so, yeah, there's a lot on the plate there. The plus is that, again, I've had some people to model after and some people that I've seen how they have done it. And I have seen what works and doesn't. and have had the ability to learn from others' mistakes, or hopefully I've learned from others' mistakes, and to organize. And I think the biggest thing of being an assistant for 25 years is that I know I'm more invested as an assistant when I have some responsibilities. And so I'll be asking a lot from our assistants, and there will be a lot of responsibility on their plate and ownership for them to do. And so they're going to help me out with this, and hopefully that'll provide some buy-in and some ownership for the program for them, because I'm going to be as good as those five guys are.
You know, I know you're a big strength and conditioning guy over there, and not just for football and all the programs. We talk about kind of getting exposed in certain sports. And you know, I think strength and conditioning is the name of the game today. And, you know, you talk about kind of culture change, and I look back to kind of where the Mercer County girls program is now, you know, 15, 20 years ago, where they struggled to win games and a lot of, you know, lopsided records, and people would always talk about culture. And, you know, I really noticed the last couple of years with the girls kind of buying in with strength and conditioning, that has kind of coincided with their success that they've had. There's more success that they're having now. So I know you got to be a big strength and conditioning guy, and I think that, to me, kind of coincides with culture change too, doesn't it? I mean, is that a big part of all this?
Yeah, I think so. The weight room will take an average guy and make him good, a good guy and make him great. And certainly performance is part of it, but also injury prevention, keeping athletes healthy regardless of what the sport. The weight room and off-season conditioning can and does that without a doubt. Now, part of it is, okay, now, you mentioned Friday nights. Friday nights are great. February mornings aren't. And so to come in the weight room on a 6 o'clock on a February morning, that's not a lot of fun. But that's part of the process, as you mentioned. But, you know, it's also part of maturing. And that delayed gratification of having a goal down the line, those are the things that we want to teach through sport, of saying, okay, this on Friday night means a lot more to me now, this game on Friday night, because I've done 6-9 months of investment in this. It's harder, much harder to give up if you've gotten up, made the drive on a January, February morning, thinking about those 9 Friday nights, because, you know, we're only promised 9 of them, and thinking about those and making that count. And so that's a huge part of it. I think also we have got to, and Mr. Advocate and I are going to have this conversation real soon, we've got to unify our strength program here at Sherrard so that we're all on the same page. All sports are doing the same thing. And so we're not asking a young person to change what they're doing from one sport to another. Brian Adams is doing a great job with that, and he'll be an integral part of this moving forward through his PE class. And I'm really confident in his ability there. And he and I have worked together in the past, and we'll continue to work together to mold this and put it together. So he'll be a big piece of this as well.
And then as far as you mentioned your assistants, now do you still have to, I mean, are you still have to put those pieces in place with who's going to be on your staff then?
I have, yes, it would be the short answer. I'll use the old adage, we want to get the right people on the bus, we'll figure out where they sit after that. And that's really where we are. We've got a couple guys in transition. The future isn't uncertain if they're going to be around here or not. We have a couple more that I know are settled in and anchored, and as soon as they roll into the building here, we'll sit and talk. But I have had no conversations with anyone until I got that call last night at 8:30. You know, we were going to wait and make sure everything was put together before we got going. I wasn't going to put the cart in front of the horse.
All right, and I can't remember this. So the Tigers open up with who in week one on August, whatever, 27th, 28th, or 29th, or what?
25th, and we go to Morrison.
All right. So take on Corey Bielema's club. So that'll be here before you know. Well, Coach Munson, congratulations again. Be great working with Scott Munson, and it's kind of a misnomer calling him a new coach because he's been around on that sideline since I think 1997. He said, "Coach, congratulations. Looking forward to working with you, and before you know it, you'll be teeing the ball up and taking on the Morrison Mustangs."
Yeah, fantastic. Thanks a lot, Jim.
All right, Scott Munson, the new head football coach over at Sherrard, joining us on this Tuesday morning on WRMJ and WRMJ.com.